Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
It's a really powerful film and really moving. And at the end, I was like, man, I want to do like a prayer group right now for the homeless in our city. So I actually really encourage that you come. It is probably for ages like 12 and up. It's not as intense as it makes it out to be, so I think a 12-year-old could do it, but you can look up for yourself and make your own judgment for your family. But I highly recommend that. That'll be February 1st at 7 o'clock here, all right? And we will be praying for the homeless in our city after the movie ends, all right? All right, Pastor Caleb, take it away.
Okay. I got to take some time now. I'm just going to slow down. Welcome once again to Thrive, where we would love for you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. Ooh. Coming up, as you saw, was the movie, February 1st at 7 p.m. here at Thrive. No Vacancies, a true story of a church that helped solve homeless crisis in the city of Florida. Come for an entertaining and inspiring night. City in Florida. February 4th, men's breakfast, 8 to 10 a.m. Come a little sooner if you want to help cook, usually around 7 o'clock. It's going to be a powerful time for men's ministry, getting together and just being dudes together and eating food, and it's awesome. We're going to come, we're going to learn stuff, be with Jesus, and just encourage each other. Looking ahead, join us for Darren Streblo. You saw his face up there on the thing a few times. It is March 5th here at Thrive. He's going to be here in the morning during regular service time. He's going to do a little something then. Then that night, he's going to put on a show. It's going to be amazing. He has done the Disney Cruise Line ship. He's been in Universal Studios. You can get your tickets right now online at thrive.org. It's a perfect event to invite your friends, your family to check out. So check out the website for details and tickets. Darren Streblo. He's a comedian. Yeah, I did say that. Didn't I? Oh, yeah. He's a comedian. He's a comedian. He's funny. Hopefully. He better be funny. And I have one more announcement given to me by Leah. End of year giving statements will be coming out this next week. So, or by email. So if you've supported Thrive in any way during this last year, please expect an email from us. And if you have not received one by the end of next week and you did give, please let us know. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Thank you, Brian, for moving mountains today. The youth can go. It's what everybody's been waiting for, right? You guys have something really cool planned. I happen to know what it is, so. He plans it out every Sunday. He sure did. Okay, so we're in week 4 of our Transformers More Than Meets the Eye. And let's see, who wore their Transformer outfit? You guys, that was it. I was like, where did they go? So can you do a little, you have to model it now for us. Sorry. That's what happens when you wear Transformers on. Hey! Fantastic. Leah, can you make sure the stream got unmuted? That'd be great. So which Transformer did the mechanic team up with? Ratchet. Which Transformer is always traveling? Trypticon. What do you get when you mix a transformer with a cow? This was my favorite. Optimus Prime Rib. I think that's pretty good. So we had an issue with our podcast, but by tomorrow. How has the fast been going this week for everybody? I know somehow week two was like really easy to forget. Did anyone else have that? Like week one was like, we're doing it. And then week two, it's like, wait a minute, what day is it? What am I doing? So if you're like me, I had that moment. I'm going to be fully honest. I actually downloaded or I took a screenshot of the daily prayer guide off our website and put it as my screensaver or my lock screen on my phone. So highly recommend doing that if you get lost and you're trying to figure out what day is it? What am I supposed to be praying or whatever? So today is truth, right? God said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. And so we're going to get into the truth of God this morning. Our key verse is Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing or the renovating of your mind. And last week, we talked about how that word transformed means meta, which means beyond, right? And so we got into that a little bit more last week. We talked about Elohim, the creator, the judge between right and wrong, and Yahweh, the relational first name of God, right? So just to be clear, we're talking about one God, but when we recognize him by his different names, we're recognizing the character of God and releasing his truth into our situations, and it says his truth sets us free. And I don't know about you, but I've needed some freedom in some situations in my life coming into 2023. Amen? Who we see God as defines what our life transforms into, right? That's our whole key thought on this message series. Who we see God as defines what our life transforms into. And I know I've said this the last couple weeks, but if we see God as a distant authoritarian God, then our relationships are going to get toxic real fast, right? Or if we see God as weak and not good enough or big enough, then we're going to get burned out real fast trying to do everything in our own strength. Amen? So who do you say God is? So today we're going to look at two more names. And how's everyone liking the names of God? Is it good? There's so many names. I was going to end it next week. We'll see if we do or not. But there are a lot of amazing names of God, right? And the whole point of getting to know God is getting to know him through his names and his character. And it's really beautiful because when you start looking at the first time these names are used, when you use them, at least when I do, it actually reminds me of Bible verses. I don't know if that's happening to you as you're praying to the names, but now when I'm praying to Yahweh, I'm thinking of the burning bush when that name was first revealed. And I think, wow, if God revealed himself in a burning bush, he can certainly reveal himself in this situation I'm in right now, right? And it actually stirs your faith. So instead of just praying to God as like a general God, we're actually getting specific and recognizing and honoring God for who he really is. Amen? So today we're going to look at two more names. Adonai is the first one. Everyone say Adonai. Adonai is used more than 345 times and means ruler, dominion, master, or owner. And so Adonai really talks to the sovereignty of God as he is Lord and I am definitely not, right? Everyone just say, phew, right? Have you ever woken up and just been glad that you're not actually in charge? It would be a real bad day, right? We all act as if it'd be a perfect day, but it really would not be, right? Psalm 50 verse 10 says, for all the animals of the forest are mine, and I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird on the mountains, and all the animals of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for all the world is mine and everything in it. All the world. Everyone just say all the world. I think sometimes we just need to remind ourselves that all the world is God's. God isn't a station you scan your prayer requests through and put a bag in that costs extra, right? He's not your administrative assistant, although we all need one of those, right? Can we just thank Andrea? She is doing a phenomenal job in the administration of the church. The elementary kids room, she's a phenomenal organizer. And so that whole kids ministry area just got a huge facelift, and it's only going to even get any better. So by a show of hands, how many believe in God in this room? Who believes in God? If you don't believe in God, that's okay. You're in the right place, right? All right, so this is a news flash. Have you ever been like, well, I believe in God, so that's really good, right? A little pat in the back, like, I believe in God. This is a good thing. This is a good start, right? So I've got a news flash for you. It's found in James 2, verse 19. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Uh-oh. Right? Anyone who patted their back for believing in God, that's a little bit of a wake-up call. I know I read that and I was like, is that right? Wait a minute, I've heard that before, but I got to go back and look at that. Is that really? No, that's what the Bible says, right? So you may believe in God as your savior. You may believe in God as your creator, but do you have him as your Lord? This was really interesting. When I was doing the study for this morning, I looked it up, and in the New Testament, Jesus, how many like to call Jesus your savior, right? If you don't, I hope you do, because I can introduce you to why you need a savior real fast, right? Or just look in the mirror. But it's referred to, Jesus is referred to savior less than 25 times in the New Testament. Isn't that interesting? Doesn't mean he's any less a savior, but he's referred to savior specifically less than 25 times and over 600 times as Lord. Isn't that interesting? And so when the two titles are mentioned together, Lord is always before Savior. So he's my Lord and Savior, right? And I think it's because many of us want a Savior but refuse a Lord, right? Have you ever been there? You want to get saved, and then God tells you, and I'm not talking about salvation here, okay, just to be clarified, but you have salvation, and you're in a situation, and you're like, God, I need a deliverance. I need to be saved out of this situation. And God's like, okay, well, let's work on this area of your life, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you the strength and the courage to overcome this addiction or whatever this is. And I'm like, maybe I don't want to get saved. I like the idea of getting saved, but I don't like the idea of surrendering my life to a Lord. Are you following me? Every Sunday we hear about God, but hearing isn't just what is needed for a transformed life, right? It's like, I want my marriage to be saved, but I don't want to surrender my past dysfunction. Or I want my career and goals to be reached and saved, right? But I don't want to recognize God's vision in my life, which is actually way better than I even could imagine. Does this make sense? Is this hitting home for anybody? So we're going to look at Luke chapter 6. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, which is the Greek equivalent to Adonai, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house and on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Some of us are in relational situations that are flooded and collapsed this morning, wondering what went wrong because we heard God, but we didn't surrender to him. This is a little bit more of like a kind of message, right? But it's really good because we can hear God every Sunday, or you can hear God wherever you hear God. But if we don't surrender to him, the situations in our life are just going to get collapsed. They're going to get hit. Who's ever gotten hit by something that you didn't see coming and it took you out? And you're like, how did this happen? And how did this get? Brian and I definitely had that happen, especially last year, where we were waiting for something to break through and it never broke through. And we ended up in a pickle because of it with his job. And it was like, we just kept waiting and waiting. And looking back, I'm like, did I catch God's vision in that moment? Did I surrender? I don't know. Maybe I did, and we just had to walk through a challenge because sometimes that happens, but it's always a good heart check. Did I surrender? Am I surrendering? The first moment someone recognized God as Adonai, it was really amazing, actually. It was in a beautiful, peace-filled prayer retreat. And it was like in a monastery-type setting, just really peaceful with a priest just clearly, they had no stress in their life. They like really had little to surrender, but they thought they'd recognize God as their Adonai. Did that sound right? No. We need to get into more of a gospel church. Someone can speak up here. It's okay, right? I'm not going to bite. If I'm not speaking the word of God, somebody better get on their chair, all right? This is like, it's a test. The first time someone recognized God as Adonai was in a moment of incredible inconvenience and doubt and disappointment and discouragement. Who's ever been in that situation? How many know that is the worst time you ever want to call God Adonai, right? You want to call God Adonai when everything's working for you and you're like, oh, I'll just surrender a little bit of something out of the abundance of my heart, right? You don't want to surrender when it's all dysfunctional and a disaster. At least I don't. That's when I want to hold on to control. Anybody have control as a good mechanism for safety, right? It's like a survival instinct. I got to control the little I got left, right? That's a very natural response, which is probably why God revealed himself in this situation. It's found in Genesis chapter 15, when Abram was old and his wife was barren. So how many know without a meta, without something beyond what they could see, without a transformation, nothing was going to change, right? They needed an impossibility to happen. Who here has needed an impossibility to happen? And I don't know about you, but when I need an impossibility to happen, my first go-to isn't always then to surrender, right? But that's actually what we need to do when we're facing an impossibility. Genesis 15, we're going to be in Abraham for a while today. So if you want to even open up your Bible to Genesis 15, we're just going to get into him for the whole time. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I am your shield." Now, this is cool because that word shield, the root word actually means surround. I am your surrounded. Isn't that what we just sang this morning? It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. So that's right here. "And your reward will be great." But Abram replied, "O sovereign Adonai, Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son?" I don't know about you, but Abram doesn't sound exactly holy in that moment. He's like, what good is anything good you can do for me if I don't have this one thing I want? Have you ever prayed like that? God's like trying to show you love and you're like, I don't want all that love. I just want this one thing, right? That is when the first time Adonai was used. "Then a word of the Lord came to him, 'This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir.' He took him outside and said, 'Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness." So the minute that Abram actually recognized God as sovereign, as master, was the moment that God was able to transform his life. So when we're holding on to everything tightly, God wants to do something in us and through us and transform us, but he's like, you got to pry your fingers open, and then I can actually move. Does this make sense to anybody today? To call God Adonai means surrender and obedience. Abram's story changed, and it wasn't just about Abram. It was actually about an entire nation that was going to come through Abram's descendant. It all changed when Abram recognized God as Adonai in his inconvenient and discomfort or uncomfortable situation. And that's what God is inviting us to do in 2023. It's time to throw up our white flag of surrender. So as we're going into 2023, we don't want to just recognize God as our creator or God as our relational God that we want to be in relationship with, but we need to actually realize that God is sovereign. He is a ruler, and he invites us to surrender to him. Not because he's authoritarian and evil or anything like that, it's quite the opposite, but because he is good and he has good things in store for us, right? So someone here needs to remember that Adonai God is a promise keeper, that he meets us in the impossible and the uncomfortable, that he is trustworthy, that he qualifies the unqualified, that he empowers you beyond what you think is possible, and he has the final say. Who needs to be reminded that Adonai has the final say? But I wonder what would have happened if Abram hadn't called God Adonai. I don't know what would have happened. We won't ever know. But what will happen in your life if you don't call God Adonai, if you don't realize that God is all-powerful, that he is sovereign, that he is worthy of us actually surrendering our life to? Some of us are trying to solve marriages or solve parenting issues or solve career conflicts or whatever it is in your life without surrendering to God. And when we surrender to God, it's not some passive thing, right? Abram didn't just sit back and that was it, right? He still walked out his path that he needed to walk out. But surrender changes your heart, and it opens doors that only God can open. Amen? So someone say with me, Adonai, transform me in my world. If you did it before, you can do it again. I really encourage you, if there's an area in your life this week that you're like, I don't understand. Like, I know God loves me and I know he's faithful, but there's this one thing that I need him to come through on, and I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what it looks like. I encourage you to call out to God as your Adonai and then to listen to his voice. Amen? So the next word goes right in line with that. The next name, it's a compound connection name. That's what we're calling it, compound connection. You didn't know you were showing up for grammar English. That was my favorite class in high school. Compound connection name. Those are used in the scriptures, actually a lot of them, where it's God and then a description. Like, God is my peace. Gideon called God that. God is my peace, right? And or God is my protector. God is my provider. That's what we're going to talk about next. Jehovah Jireh. So how many think that Jehovah Jireh, God will provide, that name is used a lot of times in the Bible? Anybody? I was like, oh, it's probably used a lot of times. It's used once. Oh, everyone say boo. Everyone likes to talk about God as the provider, but really, no. It doesn't mean that he isn't our provider a lot. It just means that the name is used once. But Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, right? So this was really cool. Jehovah Jireh. Jireh does not mean provider on itself. This was really neat. I didn't know this. Jireh means to see or remained alive. But when you put Jireh next to Jehovah, you get provider. Isn't that cool? So Jireh on itself just means to see. In fact, it's the word used in Genesis chapter 1 that says God saw that it was good. He, Jireh, it was good. Isn't that interesting? But then a little bit later, Jehovah, Jireh, becomes God is my provider or my provision. Now, what is provision? It's pro. Vision. There we go. Provision. So we're going to get into this and what this means for your life. But how many know that it's really easy to go from year to year to year and to just not even stop and get vision for your life? It's like the bills come or they don't come and you're waiting for them to come, or they already came and now you're figuring out what to do with them, or, you know, you're single and then you're trying to date, or you're married and then you don't know what to do married, or you've got kids and then you're waiting for them to leave the house, or they left the house, now you don't know what to do. And it just goes life season to life season to life season. And very rarely do we stop and actually get God's vision for our lives. And have you ever just been stumped? Like, how do I even get God's vision for my life? What does this even mean? It's kind of, unless you, so I think some personality types are all about vision, right? Let me keep my vision board. Anyone into the vision boards? Yeah, we got some vision board people. And then others are like, are you nuts? I'm not going to cut out a bunch of magazine cutouts and put it on a poster, right? I found like 5 of my vision boards from high school when I was organizing stuff with Brian, and I was like, this is really weird. What do I do with this? I felt like, I was like, I can't throw out the vision. What do I do? I don't know. That seems wrong, right? But anyway, vision. When we don't get God's vision, then we miss out on his provision. I'm not talking about, please don't hear finances as this entire message. That would not be the right interpretation, okay? I am talking about when we walk in the vision God has for us, there's a provision, there's a courage, there's a strength, there is a passion that God releases. And this is especially true for every area of our life, but even in your marriages, for anyone married here, or if you're single, catching God's vision for the life season that you are in. But if you're married, sit down with your spouse and think about, what is the vision for our marriage this year? Maybe there's a theme Bible verse. Maybe there's something you want to grow together on. But getting vision creates intentionality, and then there's provision in that, all right? So I'm gonna keep going here because we're almost done. But Jehovah Jireh happened when a person who did positive declarations 3 times a day and believed with all his might in blessings got a blessing. Did anybody learn anything from the last time I said something? Who's going to be the actual person that says no? No. Thank you. Say it again. A person who did positive declarations 3 times a day and believed with all his might in blessings and got a blessing. Wouldn't that be just great if that worked? Like the power of positive thinking. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Not exactly, right? God was revealed as Jehovah Jireh to Abraham when he was in a faith contradiction. It was when he was promised to be a father of nations and the place, ha, where God told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes. Everyone say raised. And saw the place from a distance. So When God asked Abraham to give up the thing he loved the most, he didn't come up with a plan B. He didn't come up with an excuse. He didn't come up with a justification of why this was horribly wrong. Anyone ever done that when God says to do something? It's like God says, forgive them. And you're like, let me give you the laundry list reason of why that is completely inaccurate, God. Right? Or God says, hey, love them, and you may not get love back. Ooh, especially if you're in a relationship. That's a little tough, right? Or a couple other things in the Bible that we love to just justify right out of the scripture for what God is saying to do, right? Who here has ever wanted to throw in the red flag at God, right, in football? You're like, that call was wrong, right? Anybody? We're going to have Super Bowl Sunday here on Super Bowl Sunday. It's going to be real fun. And we're not going to be throwing red flags at God, though. But, you know, you just want to throw the red flag. Like, man, you got the wrong call. If there's ever a place in the scripture for God to have the wrong call, it was this moment. Have you ever had that moment in your life? It's like, God, if there was ever a moment, this is definitely not what you're actually saying to me, right? Get confirmation, right? It's good to get confirmation to make sure you're hearing from God. But Abraham definitely was. Genesis 22 doesn't say Abraham bargained or begged or any of that. It says he got up, took, split, set out, raised his eyes. These are all action words. He even got up early. That's more than some of us did this morning to get to church. And he was doing something that was going to be really sacrificial to God, right? That'll put a little bit of, that's better than coffee to wake you up next Sunday for church. Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Who has ever gotten a promise from God and then everything seems like it's the opposite of the promise, right? Anyone, you get a word from God and you're like, okay, this is going to happen. And then you're like, everything is happening against what is supposed to happen here, right? Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. Even raise the dead. Isn't that amazing? Abraham had never seen the dead raised. So he was saying, we're like, oh yeah, Jesus raised from the dead, but Abraham didn't have that. So he was saying, something I've never known God to do, I believe God would even do that. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. So when we call Jehovah Jireh, when we call God that, it means God has a plan and a purpose in my situation. And I don't know about you, but I need to be calling God Jehovah Jireh a heck of a lot more. Because it's so easy to try and hold on to our life, hold on to our situations instead of surrendering them to Adonai and then realizing that we're supposed to trust God even when everything is contradicting it, like Jehovah Jireh. God saw Abraham obey so quickly. So why don't you stand on your feet? After Abraham saw the ram in the thicket, it says he called the place Jehovah Jireh, God provides. If Abraham had only gone halfway, he never would have known Jehovah Jireh and lived in God's vision. Some of us are tempted today to give up on God, to give up on what he has said, to give up on the peace that passes understanding, to give up on a situation in our life. And I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't go halfway. Catch God's vision. And if you can't see God's vision in your situation, sometimes we get blinded. That's what we're here to do. That's why we're here to pray with you, right? Because sometimes we need someone else's eyes in our situation to catch God's vision. There is a provision when we call God Jehovah Jireh, when we surrender to God's vision. Charles Spurgeon says, blessed be the name of Jehovah Jireh for having taken thought of me, a beggar, a wretch, a condemned criminal, and for having provided the Lamb of God whose precious blood was shed instead of mine. So in Genesis chapter 1, God says, it was good. And then how many know it got not so good for a little bit? How many have had a this is good moment to a not so good moment in your life? And then God provided the ultimate sacrifice, Jehovah Jireh. And he said, he saw it was good again, right? Jehovah Jireh, the ultimate provision in Jesus. The same Jehovah Jireh that gave a ram instead of Abraham's son, sent his only son instead of us so that we could remain alive. Jehovah Jireh. Isn't that powerful? So I'm going to wrap up with Hebrews 12:2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That word look or fix our eyes on Jesus means to view with undivided attention. Jesus fixed his eyes on God's vision, and it pulled him through every challenging situation he was in. How many know if your eyes are on your challenging situation, you're not going to see the provision for it? We have to keep our eyes locked on Jesus and his vision for our marriages, for our careers, or for our families, or for our future, or for our situations, for our health. We have to keep our eyes on him, and then his provision can happen, and we can say Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. Amen. He is our provider, our vision giver, our resurrector and life source. He meets us in the contradictions and gives us a supernatural solution. He is a God who follows through. He is a God who is watching and looking out for us. And he is a God who sent his son as the ultimate provision. Can you just say with me, Jehovah Jireh, transform me in my world. If you did it before, you can do it again. So Jesus, right now, we just thank you that you are Adonai. You are Jehovah Jireh. God, we just repent. We say we are so sorry when we've tried to hold on to our own lives, hold on to our situations, instead of turning to you and saying, Adonai, we surrender. Adonai, I surrender this part of my life. Maybe you've never given your life to God this morning, and I want to invite you to call God your Adonai, your Savior, your Jehovah Jireh. God, I just thank you that right now, anybody who is feeling hopeless, who is feeling visionless in your life, God, I thank you that you are our provision, that even in the place of hopelessness where we can't see what's going to happen, we thank you that you are downloading vision to us. Maybe it's a Bible verse. Maybe it's a passion that we forgot we had or a gifting. Maybe it's practical, like a skill set. God, I thank you that you are giving vision, that we are a church of vision for marriages, for parenting, for kids, for people that are dealing with mental illness or health struggles or difficult situations. Right now, God has a vision for you in your situation that is going to unlock his provision. And his provision, maybe it is financial, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about joy that can be your strength, peace that goes beyond understanding, courage and patience and love, and to know you are worth so much, even in everything you are going through. He is your provision this morning. In Jesus' name, we just say yes. Yes to you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.